Alrighty. After what?
Three weeks?
Did you enjoy your vacations?
Life, brother. Life happens.
Well, let's see. Why was it an excuse that we didn't shoot the first week?
The first one was work-related for both of us.
Yeah, work-related.
And one day, you couldn't...
That sucks being poor, man.
And one day, you couldn't come. And then the second day we had scheduled, I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And then...
I throw my back.
That was last week.
That was last week.
And then the week prior to that, it was work again.
2 days out of work.
Yeah. And, but we're here back, bro.
Episode seven. Hello, people. It's your boy, Santi, with your man, Alan.
With the man.
Yeah, but the host, the MVP right here. El mero chiludo.
It's good to be back, bro, after a month mark today.
A lot of soccer, right?
A lot of soccer.
To talk about.
But before we get to that, I know there's big news. Your little big boy is...
Oh, yeah, bro. I'm happy.
In a team now.
Going into five on August. And my wife surprised me. I come home from work one day and she tells me I want to enroll him. I've been practicing with him on the side, you know, cause I mean, he is diagnosed with autism, like mid-level autism. He's diagnosed already, working on that. He has his therapies. And that's why I didn't want to enroll him in the team, you know, cause bunch of kids, he's still young. He's like 5 years, he's going to be five. Soccer, you have to like a lot of fundamentals, etc. So I took it upon myself before enrolling him into the team to get him into, you know, the soccer vibe, like listening to a coach, running some drills and all that. And it's been 3 months since that. And my wife wanted to push it. She found a team, bro, and to make it awesome, it's in the team that in the league that we used to play, the league that we grew up, bro.
Where it all started,
Deportivo Michoacán, bro. He's in the OYSL. He's playing for Teco Sounder. You know, okay. Teco Sounder, that's... I liked it. Went to go check it out on Saturday. They play Fitz Falcon. Brings so many memories, bro. So many memories.
Bro, the best memory I have of that of a place. I don't know if you remember that. It was on a Sunday, and we would always shoot in
before warm-ups. Practices, yeah. Before games.
And one of those... Cesar Villaluz. There was this lady walking behind the goal. He shot it. And you just see the ball bump the lady's head, but she tried to act like nothing happened, bro, and kept walking.
God.
But, man. Yeah, so many memories.
The memory that happened, I told my wife, was, I don't know if you remember this, was I wasn't a starter, you know. The one game I would start, another game I wouldn't. I would go off the bench. But I remember my only goal that I scored, like when I barely started playing, right? We started playing. I think I was like, for games, I would always play left back or center back, right?
Yeah.
That's where your dad preferred me playing. That's where I started playing and I was, you know, comfortable playing. And I told my wife, like, it was the first goal. And I think it was the only goal up until, like, 2-3 years later when I would score again. And the stupid ref calls it outside. And I still remember. And it wasn't outside. You know, Seca's build-up play. You remember Chendo, right?
Yeah.
Chendo, that fool was a beast. He's scrawny, motherfucker, too, but beast.
Yeah.
I remember him. I think you were in mid, or I don't remember if it was Mango or Villaluz, you know. Mm-hmm. And... they do a saque de manos, left back. I run to join them. They pass me the ball. I pass it to Chendo. I do the cut. He loves me a ball. La bajo de pecho. Y nada más le meto un riflazo, bro. Like, you know, I didn't have shot. I barely have shot right now. Back in the day, I was...
You just went for it.
Yeah, I just went for it. It goes in. And I was all celebrating. And I forget who comes. And he's like, ¿y pa qué celebras, güey? He's offside. I got pissed, bro. That's a memory, like, you know, going back there. But yeah, he's on his team. He had his first practice officially with the team Tuesday. He practiced Tuesday at 6. He vibed good. He did good. Listens to the coach. You know, he gives it his all. It looks like he's having fun out there. I mean, right now it's just for him to get introduced. I mean, what do they do at this age? They just run around the ball like
positions.
Yeah, they just everybody. There you go. You know what they remind me of? Is the movie Ice Age. The dodos.
The dodos.
With the watermelon. Like all of them together. That's that's like the best way I could describe, you know, yeah. 4, like U4, U6. Yeah. soccer. So, I mean, he has his first game. He makes his debut, number 20, by the way. Right. Makes his debut. So
he's going to be a striker, I suppose?
Nah, bro. That's what I was talking to my wife. And I want him to play a CDM, bro. That's what I'm going to train him. And I would, just, you know, I would love for you to help me out coaching him, like, later on and stuff. You're a great coach. That's a position that I really want him to dominate, a CDM, bro.
Okay.
You know, so, but right now, you know, he's enjoying it. He's having fun out there. Let's see how he does. But, yeah, you know, Teco Sounder, there you go.
Yeah, the best age to start at, you know.
Yeah.
And see where it goes from there, man.
Yeah. Okay, you know? So we have a lot of, sorry to talk about, 3 weeks, haven't talked anything. I think our listeners should deserve a lot to talk about. We have a bunch of soccer that has happened since the last time that we spoke. The La Liga, bro, La Liga suffered grabs, Spanish soccer. Now Real Madrid tying back-to-back-to-back games, dropping points. Barcelona winning after the Clásico, bro. I saw that at Vegas. It was fun. Lost money. Betted. Lost 250. I honestly thought... What do you think, bro? Let's talk about a little bit about a Clásico, bro. Did you see that game?
Yeah, we won. So...
I honestly thought, bro, that you guys were gonna massacre. To be honest. I saw, first of all, Coleman completely surprised every Barcelona fan with the lineup. Completely changed the lineup. You know, and I think that's what played a big factor in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I'm not taking credit away from Real Madrid. Real Madrid was coming in a hot streak. Remember that we talked about... The injuries, the Sergio Ramos, Averan, and all that. And
that was going to be a psychology game.
Exactly. Okay, now, and remember I told you that if Real Madrid beats Liverpool, they were going to win a Clásico, right?
Correct. And it happened.
And it happened. And like, I was talking to my soccer buddies, I was talking to my coworkers that Liverpool played trash. They have been playing trash. Honestly, Liverpool's... Reality, we're going back to the 2008, 2009, you know, 2010, 11, like when they were just trash team. And I honestly thought they were going to play better against Real Madrid. And they looked, honestly, like a championship
team. You think that final's still in the back of their head, maybe? That's why?
I feel one thing.
You think it's just the moment that Liverpool is going through?
It has to do a lot. You always know it's something psychological and it's something, you know, like physical wise. Physically wise, they're not there. Mentally, they're not there either. And now I could honestly say that Real Madrid has that paternidad, that fatherhood, over Liverpool.
Over Liverpool.
Yeah, because to be honest, Real Madrid wasn't playing that hot.
And they weren't. Honestly, I mean, the goals came out of errors, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say much as errors. I would say that Vinicius Jr. had a game over Trent. Trent couldn't handle the speed of Vinicius Jr. And obviously, you know, Vinicius sucks at finishing. And then he pulls a shot that Alisson Becker should have blocked it. He didn't. The other one was a nice... Yes. It was his first goal was actually a nice goal. Benzema's goal was a nice goal too. The fact is that Real Madrid beats Liverpool, right? 3-1.
Yeah.
3-1. In their home. All Liverpool did, bro, was give confidence to Nacho, who was playing center back, replacing Varane, and to Mendy, who was playing...
Nacho had a strong game.
Nacho had a strong game. In both. In the Champions League quarterfinals against Liverpool and in El Clásico. And I told, my buddies that I talk sports with, that all Liverpool did, bro, was give confidence to a Nacho, to a Mendy, and to a Real Madrid that had a tough week, back-to-back hard games. That's all they did. And I'm really shocked that after all Real Madrid did, you know, they had it, you know, co-workers, cousins, soccer friends, you know, they were all saying, oh, we're going for the Champions League and we got the Liga. You know, Atletico dropping points like crazy.
Atletico, yeah, talk about drops.
Like crazy. And, I expected Madrid to be topping the table. No, bro. Tomorrow, Barcelona wins their game.
Yeah, they're back one game, right?
Yep, they're back one game. They play it tomorrow. Barcelona wins that. They go top of the table, bro.
All they got to do is just stay up there.
Exactly. And it's at home. I think they're playing Getafe, bro. Not sure. Should be an easy cut. Yeah, and Barcelona, see, this is what surprises me. Barcelona has found a system under Koeman. They have found a rhythm. Griezmann is slowly getting into adapted to a position, you know, that he's forced to play. He's scoring goals, assisting. Messi looks like he's finally getting comfortable.
Speaking of Messi, the big news of the week in Barcelona, right? Where I think the president is trying to get working with the sponsor to bring in $500 million.
Jesus.
To one, renew Messi, and two, bring back Neymar.
What do you think about that? What do you think about renewing Messi, bro? Do you think it's a smart move? Do you think investing again on a 32-33-year-old Messi?
He doesn't want to be there.
Exactly, right? So why would you want to, he brings an investor 500, you know, he's going to get himself in more
debt. I would put it into a young guy, young blood.
Okay, tell me this. What can Messi give more to Barcelona, bro? What does Messi still have to offer?
It's a boost. A mental boost.
Nothing, bro. Not even a mental boost. In my opinion.
Just because you can't count out the greats, you know? Something about having...
You don't want... Okay. Here's a great
thing. Take this, bro. Take this.
Where's Ronaldo at right now?
Okay, well...
Juventus is drowning. They're both sinking. And he's already saying that he's going to leave. Well, you know, and what was his purpose there? Why did he join Juventus 2-3 seasons ago?
To keep Juventus on top.
Okay.
And carry the team.
Look at, they're in
fourth place.
Exactly. They're out of I think other teams.
Well, the Serie A is already finished.
Yeah. They're definitely not champions after they had
seven
in a row. Now with you're talking about Ronaldo, they don't qualify past quarterfinals.
They're barely making it to the champions.
Yeah, no, forget champions. The two seasons he's been there, they haven't even reached a semifinal. And before Ronaldo, Juventus was up there. You know, it's I feel Ronaldo and Messi, they need to go somewhere where the pace is not. Ronaldo's physique and everything is tough form.
Yeah, but age is a factor.
Exactly, age is a... Look at how the game is evolving, and Messi. I wouldn't invest so much money on Messi. I think it would be another Cristiano Ronaldo, you know. What have they literally won big time since, their past primes, last time that Ronaldo was in Madrid, he goes to Juventus, he's not winning major things. Messi hasn't won major things. Right? Yeah, Messi, Copa del Rey, and all that. I feel a great player is always going to be a great player, but it should come to their head. I need to step down. I need to take it more easy.
So what do you think, MLS?
I'm thinking MLS, bro, or not even MLS, bro. I feel like they could go to a Porto League or Netherlands. Perfect. Those teams would be perfect for them. They could go and dominate it. And they could teach so much to the young, but obviously the budgets on those teams, they're not going to be spending $500 million.
What they're worth. On paper.
So they could only go to big team teams like PSG and all that. But I mean, what can they really offer? They're not big changers no more, bro. Just the name.
When you think about it, you see European football on... European football clubs don't make money.
What do you mean?
There's only very few clubs that make money
in European
football, and they don't make drastic amounts either.
Not no more.
So for me, the only thing that would make sense is players like them coming to MLS.
Yeah, which they could afford.
Where teams here do make money because they're franchises.
Exactly. You have how many like people own a fucking like LAFC? How many people own?
I don't know. I mean,
a bunch of people.
I think that's why David Beckham decided to invest in Miami FC.
You want to know something? And you're hearing it here at the podcast, Beyond the 18. And I'm gonna go ahead and say this. I always think of it, but never say it because people don't like. You know, they won't take it serious. But serious talk. The only way Messi and Ronaldo are gonna win something big, bro, is if those two play in one team together. 100% guarantee you. Messi is not gonna lift another Champions League, bro. Like from right here until he retires, 100% guarantee you. Cristiano Ronaldo is not gonna lift another Champions League, you know, or La Liga. Like it's gonna be hard. Unless they play in the same team, those guys could dominate at their age and they could compete and win something big.
If they're together.
If they're together. Apart, I don't think so, bro. Messi cannot adapt to other players. He grew up with the system. Remember we talked about it, that I told you that
it was built around him, right?
That it was built around him. You know, he grew up in the Messiah. He grew up in with the Iniestas, with the Busquets, with the Piquets, with the Dani Alves. He developed a system of a game with Xavi. You know, like he adapted to those. And once those people were leaving that were like with him, he cannot adapt, you know, to the new generation that's coming.
Correct.
Cristiano Ronaldo could adapt to any other player, but he cannot adapt to the game that the team plays. You know, Juventus is not a goal-scoring team or anything. They're just a team that plays beautiful football, tactical, and all that. And Cristiano's not that type of a player. That's why he's struggling with Juventus.
He's a goal-scoring machine.
You know, so I feel that Messi and Ronaldo could, like, that's their only chance.
Being together.
The team that could afford that... It would only be
which PSG. Is a very limited amount these days, right?
Bro, PSG. You know, PSG, but...
PSG, okay. Man City.
So, you know, I did not know about that. About that sponsorship that Barcelona wanted.
I read about it yesterday. Like
I mean, if they win La Liga, they're going to get it, getting some cash. And to be honest, I see it. I see Barcelona holding, you know, their last games because they're going to be 2 points up clear, 3 points off of Madrid.
Well, if they win, they'll be 1 point ahead...
2 points off of Madrid and one ahead of Atletico, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, this title race is coming literally,
it's
going
to be to the last match.
To the last match. 100%. I agree. What has happened in the EPL, bro? The EPL...
I think right now it's just the fight for Champions League spots.
Champions League spots, which it's between Everton, I believe. It's Leicester, Chelsea. You could... completely count Liverpool
because
out, bro.
Because right now, let's see. The only club that for sure has Champions League settled is Man City. And Man United, I believe. I mean, it's a 5-point difference from second to third, so...
Let's talk about Man City, bro. Let's talk about... Because to be honest, that is my favorite on winning the Champions League.
Man City,
bro.
With the way they played today, yeah.
They played a pretty sloppy first half. I was seeing the game on and off. I was at work today. I completely saw the first half because that's when we took our lunch break. Mm-hmm. So we saw the first half. I saw the first half. And PSG was playing some amazing football. This is why I think Chelsea is not going to win against Real Madrid. Because Chelsea... perdonó mucho, bro. They had it to finish the game early with a 3-0. And they out of like they had like 5 shots, 6 shots of target. They only conquered one away goal.
Was it like the minute 5 when
you
they had
never ever want to give Madrid life in a tie, bro. Like never. You know, it's those Giants, you have to put them to bed as soon as possible.
With a tie in the second game, Chelsea goes, right?
Chelsea goes. But you swear, Chelsea's not going to keep Benzema. A zero. Pretty much Chelsea don't need to let, like, not even one goal past the net. They let one goal past the net, they're done, bro. They're done, to be honest. And that's the problem, you know, that Madrid knows that with one goal, they have the game. And Madrid is a giant, bro. It's a European giant. They know that. They live for that. Look at Zizou, you know, Zizou. Three Champions League back-to-back, Real Madrid. Like, they have those type of pedigree players. And Chelsea, well, they in reality, they don't. Now, they played a good game, but this is why I feel like PSG failed. PSG played a hell of a first half, a hell of a second half, but they forgave too much, bro. They were doing beautiful plays. I don't know if you saw, like,
even in the goal,
Neymar,
the second goal, I mean, I don't know why the wall split.
It wasn't that Kalo's fault? I didn't see the second. I just
heard
that.
The wall split on the free kick from Mahrez, and they went through that gap where they happened to split.
Mm-hmm.
And as a keeper, it's kind of hard.
Oh, yeah. You know, even if you're trusting. You trust your wall. You know,
that's why you put a wall there.
Because that's your weak spot.
Exactly. You know? And so they split, and the ball went through there. It wasn't even a hard kick, you know? The ball hardly lifted.
So you wouldn't... I mean, because I saw a lot of people bashing Navas, bro, online. And I don't think so.
I mean, the
reason why PSG is in a final, went to a final...
Well, the reason why they are is a big reason is Keylor Navas, you know?
Yeah, bro.
But the reason... I mean, that's the curse of being a goalkeeper, too. You're always going to get the bashing from everyone, even though if you gave a A1 game, you know?
Yeah.
But, I'm on the same page with you. Right now, I'm leaning more towards Man City taking everything.
Okay, so after the first result of yesterday's game.
Yes.
Real Madrid, Chelsea. Now, that was in the Stefano Stadium,
The temporary.
The temporary stadium for Madrid. Chelsea getting that away goal and then giving it... well, they still have it, but letting it tie. How do you see them doing at Stamford Bridge back in?
I think it's going to be a one-game, one-goal...
Favorite to
different,
who?
Madrid.
Madrid? I could honestly say... Look, for me, bro, 100%, it's a coin flip.
Okay.
It's a coin flip. It could go either way. Because I'm one, I hate Madrid. You know, I'm the biggest Madrid hater, but I have to recognize, you know, when give credit where credit is due and Madrid. You know, I always say, and every time that Madrid passes to a semis, I always say that's like their zone.
It's a done deal.
It's their zone. You know, that's when Madrid, like, they're killers. If you want to stop Madrid from winning a Champions League, you either have to stop them in quarters.
16.
In 16s. You know, because if they get past those two, Madrid are in a row. That's their... Yeah, I mean, for no reason, they have 13 freaking of those fucking championships. So, I mean, and then Chelsea, that away goal, they're playing at home, their turf. We know that they... that turf plays a lot, you know, a big role. 100% coin flip. The one that I could decide 100% who's going to pass, Manchester City, bro. And I Pep deserves it. Man City deserves it.
It's been a long running for Pep with Man City and him deserving a Champions League, you know.
De Bruyne deserves
they've
it.
Had, they've had the squad ever since Pep came in to take Champions League every year. It's just been upsets.
Yep, upset. No, after upset, after upset. So I definitely see. I don't see PSG. I mean... Mbappe got shut today, bro. Mbappe got shut. They completely had zero shots on target. They didn't do anything. Neymar, on the other hand, Neymar has just been putting PSG on his shoulders, bro.
Who's the playmaker today?
Bro, that guy, you could put three on him and out of the nowhere, he Ronaldinho status, you know, that Brazilian flair. You know, there was plays in the first half that would be like, how the hell did he get the ball out of there? How the hell did he execute that pass? Yeah, exactly.
In certain areas.
You know, so, I mean, but Manchester City with Pep are just in a whole different level. I feel like they have what it takes. I don't see PSG doing an upset. I honestly don't.
I mean, look where they're going. They're going to Etihad Stadium. So that alone is a big pressure.
It is, bro. It is. So, Real Madrid, Chelsea, I live it as a coin flip. I see Manchester City in the final.
I think the Real Madrid, Chelsea is just whoever wants it more at this point.
The games are going to be played next week. Manchester City plays first, Tuesday.
And then Real Madrid Wednesday.
And Real Madrid Wednesday, which is going to... They're going to be badass games. I feel like I'm going to hurt my back again. Tuesday and Wednesday.
It's going to be almost like a celebratory goal.
Yeah. But okay, now that we're talking European and all that,
the before, biggest news
before of football. Exactly, it shook football for two whole days, bro. Like literally, like I honestly thought it was a done deal. Well, on paper, was a done deal, right?
It was a signed agreement.
Okay, so I had you look into it. You that know much more like of financials and all that. I had you look into it. I know the aspect behind it about football wise, but I'm curious as to know, are they gonna be fines? What happened? Did by any chance did you study that? Like, well, how this disagreement came to be about? Like, were you? So, I remember when I asked you first what happened, you were saying that you were against it, and I told you that I 100% would wanted that or for it, right? Yes. And what we're talking about. And this is long overdue. This episode was supposed to be actually like two weeks ago. Yeah. But we still need to talk about it because this is something that's going to... For me, it's going to happen in the future, bro. It has to happen. And I'm going to tell you my aspects and my view of why it has to happen and how it's going to happen, you know. And I would like you to tell me vice versa and everything that you study on it because you told me you did 2 days research, but... What me and Natalie here are talking about is what came to be the ESL, bro. The European Super League. Yeah. Which, it sounds as... It's as sexy as it sounds, to be honest.
The European Super League. I mean...
Tell me about it, Alan. Tell me. So explain to me and the listener. What is the European Soccer League,
bro? The European Soccer League was going to be a...
Why do you say was going to be?
Was going to be because... What? The only two teams that didn't pull out were Real Madrid and Barcelona. And Atletico Madrid, the three.
So, Atletico's still in it?
I believe so.
You think so?
I think they're still with it.
To be honest, I wouldn't know. I just know that the Premier League's pulled out, but okay. So, ESL, was going to be?
Was going to be a 75% closed league tournament.
Okay.
Closed league because these 12 founding clubs were going to have permanent residency in this tournament no matter how bad they're doing in their domestic leagues.
So we're talking no promotion, no relegation,
which is a bunch of BS in my book. Okay. And I hate it. Okay. You know, because obviously this goes to show that football has grown away from what football was meant to be, which is a tradition, a culture to bring people together. And it's completely become a money sport.
Okay, bro. Here's you touched a good subject that a lot of people, you know, I would see it online, you know. That,
that's like I told
the
bro.
Relegation,
you know?
Promotion. But let me tell you this, okay. Do you enjoy the NFL?
If the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing good.
I mean,
which we have, we always blow it.
Big Ben, yeah. Okay, so, okay. You enjoy the NFL? A lot of people enjoy the NFL, which is a money-making league. The MLB, the MLS, the NHL. I know you can't compare them.
Because those are franchises.
But let me tell you this. Mm-hmm. Those don't go up. There's no regulation. There's promotion. Every year, you got the same teams fighting, the same, you know. That's it. And yeah, like okay. Let me put it this way.
You want me to cut you there?
Go for it.
In the NFL, it's unpredictable. Did you think the Buccaneers were going to be the Super Bowl champs?
I did not.
No one did.
But let me tell you this. Okay, I like how you say unpredictable, right? Tell me, La Liga predictable?
But the ESL would be predictable.
Okay, answer me this. Is La Liga is predictable. It's either going to be Atletico,
it's going to be one
Barcelona,
three clubs.
Or Real Madrid. The Premier League, pretty much since Pep took over Man City, it's always Man City. You know, it has been. It, like, people would brag about the Premier League, like, oh, it's you never know what's going to be. Bro, since Pep took charge, it's Man City, Man City, Man City, Man City. Leicester, Liverpool, Man City, Man City. Not even Manchester United. Now they only fight for, like, top three, you know. It's becoming predictable, right? Yes. Bundesliga, what's more, like, it's Bayern, right? Bayern Munich, freaking winning. City out, bro. It's just barely right now that Juventus is on the slope. You know, those are the things that are predictable. Okay, you're saying that the Super League is going to be predictable and all this. To be honest, no. I don't think so. You have 12 teams. Because those 12 teams have a straight chance of winning that title. You could have.
You're telling me that Arsenal, that at the moment is in 10th place, they've been a booty team for I don't know how many years.
100%.
Would have a chance to win it over clubs like Man City.
Okay, 100%.
Why?
Okay. Money-wise, right? The Superliga. How much were they going to get for a transfer budget?
Okay, so let's go back to the funding. This was going to be funded by an American bank. $4.3 billion.
God bless America, bro.
You know? Which kind of got me pissed.
Because America's all about business,
because
bro.
Because I'm like, okay.
Oh, wow. Alan, just to let you guys know, Alan just did the crisscross applesauce, so we're getting serious.
Because I'm like, let's look at the state where this country is in. And then we have JP Morgan Chase funding $4.3 billion into the other side of the pond. But we're not here to speak politics. Put that to the side.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's something that...
you know, it's something that...
That's what I get you. That's what gets you mad when you're involved with the sport.
And that's where I realized, I'm like, yo, this is just a greed move. Nothing else. Because even the owners, most of the EPL clubs, they're mostly American owned clubs.
Yeah, American owned clubs. Yeah.
And all these people care about is making money. So is Fiorentino Perez. Okay. Man City is owned by oil money.
When media started commercials and all that, like media took it involved. So not, I'm not talking about social media. I'm talking about media, you know, in general. TVs, cinema, like all that. They once they took sponsorships within football, soccer, bro, that's when soccer sold out. So I don't know why fans come and complain that, oh, money, green money. Look at the World Cup. The World Cup
going to be in Qatar.
Coca-Cola, Pepsi, once they took a hold of that, it all became, okay, partnerships, sponsorships, broadcasting rights and all this. Like Champions League, bro. Champions League. It's one of the most like well-paid and everything. You know, the big five leagues, well-paid sponsorships. Like I get into a debate with my brother because how come leagues change their names, you know, like let's say
the Barclays Premier League.
Barclays Premier League, you know, La Liga Santander, before it was like the LFPBR.
Of course everything is it's a bid war.
Exactly. Okay, so what is so wrong about the Super League trying to do that? Yet for me, it's all business, right? But so, it has become the sport that we
because
love, bro.
What happened, bro? Has become business. What happens with this is that these clubs will be guaranteed big bucks.
Okay.
Guaranteed huge money. And the reason they created this is because for them, the UCL became unfair in terms...
It is unfair.
In terms of the split of the money. Of them having to face what they call tiny clubs that they shouldn't be playing.
Bro, I completely agree with that. 100%.
And whatnot. But for me, it's like, let's put the ESL to the side for a minute. It's going to even make the gap even worse in their domestic leagues.
Wrong.
Why?
Wrong. The gap is not going to... Okay. The split in the USL is all even, right? On the teams. Except if you win, the winner takes money. But it gets to cut. The more small teams or teams they are, the smaller the prize, right? Okay. No small team has won the Champions League in the last... I think it was Porto who won it like in 2011 with... that's the smallest that I could think of. Other than that, it has been big teams. Bayern, Chelsea, Manchester United, Barcelona. You know, those teams constantly, you know, earning big bucks. They could afford the capital of buying big players. Yet the small teams, they can't. Because they can't when they participate, but they get like... just a small percentage. They don't win. They don't get past the knockout stages or anything. If you take those big teams out, those small teams could now focus on a big, like, the Champions League is always going to be the Champions League, bro. The name is there. And games are going to be always exciting, bro. Like, always exciting.
So, you're saying that even today, the UCL is predictable?
Hell yeah. Okay, people get mad that there's 12 teams that are going to be competing. Yet, I could tell you that, it, like, if you go back to, like, 2002, it's have always been the same teams, except for, like, one or two that are different. Who make it in the round of 16s?
The reason
is... The top four of the team, predictable clubs, bro.
So, I guess, okay, what makes most of the people mad, including myself, the biggest point, I think, was the fact that there was going to be a guaranteed position for 12 clubs.
And why are they mad about that?
Because, bro, like, if you're the European Super League,
you're going to get the best of the best.
So, that's the point. Arsenal's not the best.
Okay, you're right in that.
You have clubs that don't deserve to be there. For God's sake, Man United ain't even in UCL.
Okay.
You get what I'm trying to say? Look, it's like, you could be, these clubs could be relegated from their domestic leagues and they'll still be in the European Super League.
I don't think so. I mean, they, look, because when they choose, like, I understand the Arsenal and all this, like, you know, but to be honest, Arsenal has always been a team. I'm not talking about recent form, you know. Who do you have right now in the EPL? You have Leicester, who has been... Leicester has been doing good, you know, since they won their... You got West Ham, you know, Leeds United, Everton. Those are teams that I would not consider big. Look, they're having a good run. Arsenal has been a big team.
I would have understood more and have agreed to this more if it would have been a deal done between leagues instead of clubs.
But okay, see.
Because now let's say, look.
The thing is money, right?
Yes, but look, even then, if it was still going to be funded by a big bank, like it is JP Morgan Chase.
Okay.
What if you really do make this a European Super League by having only the top two of every league qualify? But make it a league between leagues instead of between clubs. Because now it's a European Super League. And now, how about from third to sixth, those clubs go to the UCL? If you're saying that...
Which would make sense.
Right?
And then
you have seven plays go to the Europa League. That would have been like, hell yeah. Because now, that makes the domestic leagues even that much more competitive. Because not everyone want to be in the ESL.
Yeah. But yet again, you're going to the factor that where does the Champions League stand in all this?
I mean, it's still going to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Give me? And it's gonna give a chance to the smaller clubs. I'm not talking smaller like in their playing, but financially.
No, that would give even more chance to the smaller clubs, I'm saying, third to sixth position.
People who talk about, you know, money that they're selling out and everything should think about. Look what PSG is charging for Mbappe. Look what Borussia Dortmund is charging for Haaland. Look how much their agents are charging just to have them play in their team. Look at how much Maguire costs for a fucking center back.
Man, you.
For a center back. Look how much Barcelona has paid over Coutinho, Dembele, you know,
Griezmann.
It's outrageous the price tags that they're giving to players, bro. Like, you know, really? 200 and something million for one player?
So instead, see this, okay, so this whole...
The Champions League does not feed that no more, bro. The revenue doesn't come in.
So isn't it fair to say that the clubs themselves got themselves into this position of having money problems? Isn't it just like banks back in 2008?
Yeah.
So the only reason this even happened this year was because obviously these clubs have had money issues because of the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. But I feel as fans, we would enjoy this league, bro. Trust me. I would enjoy every... I mean, yeah... You long
for me, it's always, I always enjoy the David and Goliath. Because we've seen upsets where, like, small clubs get dominated by smaller clubs. You know? And if you have... And if you have that over there, I think you would lose it. Because also... No way. Because also, I think it would get boring pretty quick.
No.
Okay. Where you have those matches where you're, like... Let's say Real Madrid against Man City.
Bro. And then so, the next week you have Real Madrid versus Barcelona. Then the next week you have Bayern Munich.
But it's become repetitive season after season after season. Look, so you lose those gems.
When you're playing the best of the best, it only is going to want to make you. How am I going to outbest the next person? How am I going to outbest the next? Okay, I'm slacking off. I need to outbest, like, you know. The best.
I think this went to show. Okay, go.
Hold on. And then when one thing that I hate about big teams is when they set them up with a small team, like a lower class team, it's the most boringest shit ever. Why? Because they lower themselves to that standard. And you're like, what the hell happened to this team? This team could, like, okay, you have a team that could go and murk another big team. And you're just like, damn, what a game. And then you go and you see them play against another team. And you're like, what the hell happened? Mentality wise, it changes. You're like, oh well, I just outdid this one, but now I have to play this guy. I don't have to give it all out. But get in a small chance. When you have that consistency of I just played this big team, now I'm gonna go, like, you know, you're just like, I need to be on my A1, and it's gonna bring the best out of the players, it's gonna be the best out of the clubs, and it's gonna get fans like wow after wow after wow.
So here's the problem with that. What it become a thing where these clubs will only focus on the ESL instead of their domestic league because the ESL is going to give them the big bucks.
I think that's what it's. I mean, football has to.
So they're going to save their A team.
Football has turned ESL. All about its money.
Which sucks.
Have you seen the movie? Because have you seen the series on Netflix? Have you seen the English game?
No.
Bro, watch it. And for our listeners out there, watch it. Beautiful documentary. Okay. The oldest competition in soccer history. The Football Association Cup, right? The FA Cup.
The FA Cup, yeah.
The oldest. It's based on that. Okay. You know why the English claim that football soccer is their sport? You know why the English claim it, even though they didn't invent it? But English, it's like they're saying that when they say, you know why they say the FIFA World Cup, oh, it's coming home. If they win it, you know, or when an English team wins a Champions League or a big event that is related to soccer, it says it's home where it belongs. You do know why?
Because they had the FA Cup tournament?
No, because they took a savage game that was played, I think, by the Chinese, you know, like in Asia. They would play that game with no rules, nothing like that. The English, high-class English people, you know, like prestige, you're talking about prestige colleges, you know, from back in the days, like the 1888,
Cambridge,
you know, exactly those. Okay, a group of them, gentlemen, as they would call them back in the day, you know, they come and they set rules.
They turned it into their own polo.
They turn it into a modernized, civilized sport called football, right? And back in the day, it would just be amateurs. It was called amateur football. Why? Because no one was getting paid. It was against the rules. Actually, one of the FA Cup rules was no player should be on a wage button to play. Nothing like you it's amateur, nothing like paid or anything. You're playing there to have fun and everything. And obviously you had like prestige, you know, rich people that could afford to fucking practice and then go play. And then you had like clubs like Black Robin that were like the middle class, poor class that they had to work a full freaking 8-hour shift. Well, I
mean, football up until like even the 1980s.
So what do they do? They were like, you know what? We can't compete with you guys because you guys have money. We don't. We have to pay our players. We have to. So they abolished that rule and they, okay, you know what? It's not amateur no more. Now they called the professional. Why? Because it was a profession. You're getting paid to play. Money comes involved. What does it do? Don't you think the guys that established that, the amateur, like the prestige schools, don't you think they were pissed off? They were like, what the hell? This game was just supposed to be for gentlemen, you know. It was supposed to be like, you know, pastime or anything, they turn it into like professional money involved. They bring the top player. Okay, I'm gonna bring the Scottish. I'm gonna bring this the Asian guy, like whatever, you know, that I'm gonna pay on top class. You know,
he so doesn't scouting have to... became a thing.
Exactly, right? Money becomes involved. But what's so different about now? The European League saying, you know what? Screw low come. We need big time. We need big bucks. And if this league is gonna give me that, why is it like, how is that different than that, bro? How is that different?
So I think because okay. The league that made the biggest commotion about this was the EPL. Right?
Yeah.
The because first obviously La Liga, they didn't care much. And I think the reason being because the EPL take it to the biggest, to the heart, was because I don't agree with you where the EPL is predictable.
It has been.
I think this season...
Look at this, bro. This season, Everton was on top of the table.
That's what I'm saying.
And Manchester,
so how does that make it predictable?
And Manchester City was where? Like 12... So, and now look at Chelsea. I mean, Manchester City is again.
That's why it's not predictable.
It's predictable. I could have told you Man City is going to take it.
But you can't predict. It's tough, bro.
Okay, let me tell you this. Let's put it this way. The Super League was, let's say it's in play. And you have those 12 teams. Can you search up really quick what were the 12 teams that the Super League was going to start with?
The 12 teams that was going to be Man City.
Okay.
Man United.
Okay.
Arsenal.
Okay.
Tottenham. Liverpool. And Chelsea.
Okay.
Italian League. Juventus. Inter Milan. AC Milan.
Okay.
And then Liga squad. Real Madrid. Atletico Madrid. Barcelona.
And Bayern.
And Borussia said no. And PSG. BSG said no. So originally it was supposed to be 16 clubs.
So we have the 12. Out of the ones that you just named. 15 clubs. Predict me, who would take that league back-to-back-to-back-to-back?
In today's standards?
In any standards at all.
In any standards at all.
Who would win the first ever, let's say it was put in effect, who would win the first ESL?
You want me to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you?
I'm asking you to be 100% to me and to our listeners.
I think the first tournament for sure would probably be rigged. It would be a bot tournament.
Florentino?
Fuck yeah, bro. He's the chairman.
Maybe that's where the only thing that I would disagree, but fuck that, bro. I would... Honestly, I would like, okay, bot or anything, but you have the best of the... Like today, bro. Like today, watching Manchester City and PSG. Jesus, bro. I just like 5 times, bro.
But you still have that in the UCL, bro. The only difference...
It's
is
once...
That, is the only difference is before that I they get... need to play... These small clubs.
Bro, I don't think it's fair.
Look at Real Madrid. They almost didn't qualify.
Bro, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair.
So you don't think it's fair that if the small club plays better than the big club and the big club doesn't go to the round of 16 and the small club does, you don't think that's fair? Because when the small club played better than the big club?
I don't
club?
Think it's fair for the small club and I don't think it's fair for the big club. Why? Because the big clubs... have to always
but that's competition, bro. That's
competition that, no, is that's top what, versus
no, it's,
top.
No, competition.
Top versus top. Any sport, bro. Any sport, you have the top
you
of
see,
the top.
Let's take the EPL. This is why I don't think it's predictable because all teams in the EPL, you're talking how football, English thing, the football is your sport. That's why the EPL is unpredictable for me because look at Everton. For a reason, they were about to drop $500 million. Well, they already dropped and building a new stadium because they're working towards becoming a season after season UCL team club.
When was the last time they've been to a UCL?
No, but I'm saying it's because they're building it, bro. They're working towards that.
I mean, right now, let's say West Ham fucking wins and they keep dropping
like
points.
Like
even they're like getting they 3 points off.
It. They could still make it. You get me? West Ham, bro. You just said it yourself, West Ham.
Instead of investing in a stadium, I feel like they should invest in a Academy, sixth squad that could get them. I mean,
they have a good squad
They have an okay squad.
Good is okay in today's standards.
No.
Yes.
Good in today's standards is good, bro.
But like I'm saying, bro, look, like, that's what I'm saying.
All I have to say is yes on ESL.
That takes away the competition.
What competition?
Because if these clubs have their position in the ESL and they're permanent, clubs like Everton, they work so that one day they can play clubs like Real Madrid in the UCL. Stuff like that.
They have not been to a UCL. I don't even think they've ever been to a...
No, I'm not saying they have. That's what they're working towards.
I could tell you, okay, maybe Wolves are working to play against Real Madrid.
They're in 12th place.
I honestly, I'm hard-headed, and I see your points, but I'm never going to take, like, we missed out, bro, on like, the biggest what could have changed. It rattled soccer. The football world, soccer world for 2 days, bro.
And football won.
Football won, bro.
Nah,
bunch of crying babies like yourself won, bro. Congratulations, you're happy? Look, we missed out. It's gonna happen. It's already out in the air. That motherfucker is gonna happen, bro. It's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. And I honestly got excited. I didn't want to believe it. I would tell, you know, my little brother-in-law, like, nah, it's not for us. Like, yeah, 100%. Like, he was bummed out. And I didn't want to get my hopes up, bro. To be honest. Because I was looking so forward to it. I was looking forward to a competition where you had top of the tops, you know, like, I'm not talking, forget the current position, I'm talking about quality of football playing, like,
Arsenal and quality football, I'll tell you that much.
What was the last time you saw Arsenal play? Exactly.
I don't watch it because they're not quality, bro.
Oh, but you rather watch Agatafe versus freaking, what is it, Burnley? You would rather watch that?
Who?
Burnley FC.
Oh, 14th place?
You would rather watch that, let me tell you this. But you don't want to watch Arsenal play. Arsenal with, like, good players. And it's just the momentum sucks, but they could play. You put them against in a... Okay,
with that record of the last five games, why the fuck would I want to watch them play against Real Madrid?
Like you said, right? The underdog. You like watching David versus Goliath. There you go, but with quality players.
Nah, bro.
For me, the Super League had me with a boner for 2 days, bro. Or nothing. And I say little bitches to those clubs that backed out. Because literally, like...
If it would have been so good for football on its own, we wouldn't have seen people react the way
they reacted. Being selfish, bro. They were being selfish. Like, they were being little pansies. Nowadays, this generation, like, they get so butthurt because you tickle their booty holes a little bit, bro.
It's because...
Like,
it's something about tradition and culture. They put that... Bro, the owners of these clubs don't know rat's ass about football. All they know is money.
And that's what it has become, money. But look, as a fan, I've been watching since 02. Since 01, I've been watching. And I've always loved the craziness, bro. Look, for me, there's games that I expect throughout the year. They start... By me waiting for the Super Clásico, America Chivas. It starts by me looking for Cruz Azul, America. It continues with Barcelona versus Atletico, Barcelona versus Real Madrid, Liverpool, Manchester
Those
United.
Are cool because they're their league. They're domestic leagues.
For me to see, like, it's for me to see those in a league of their own and have that all year round, bro, I swear I would love it. I would completely love it. And
it would be cool. It would be cool for like the first 2-3 years.
No.
Because like you said yourself, it'd be predictable.
What would be predictable?
The ESL. You said, like Man City would, the way they are.
You tell me that Barcelona is going to be letting Man City take their league 3 years in a row. You tell me that Bayern Munich is going to be letting Man City win the league 3 years in a row. You're telling me Real Madrid. You're telling me, let's say, Chelsea and all those, like Liverpool, having those teams, like, you know, winning three freaking, you know, hell no. At the first one, they're going to be like, nah, we can't let this happen. Boom, boom, boom. Let's work hard and invest. Boom. The other team's going to be like, nah, we're slacking off. Like, how are we, like, they're going to go because they're so comfortable in their league that they know that they could win it. Yet they're going to be put out of that comfort zone when there's, like, no teams that could, like, easily give them points. Like, let's say from 8 to 12, those teams easily give them points that feed them to go into top ones. Now they know that they're going to have to work each and every harder because every match counts. And it's going to be year in, year out, year in, year out that I need to outbest this team. I need to outbest. I need to remodel. I need to refine. You know, the game is going to evolve. It's going to change. More speed, more tactical, more touchy, more this. Like, it's not going to be predictable. I swear. It's not going to, like, Manchester City, the EPL, they know that they're one of the top contenders, and they know that they're going to be taking it and taking it. Juventus, Real Madrid, Barcelona, you know, Bayern Munich. Like, they know because they have other teams that they could dominate easily, that could give them easy points. When you put them in a Super League where you have teams that have the same potential squad and money in your bags, you know for sure that you're not going to have it easy. That you're going to have to work and work and make better and better. And the competition is going to, it's gonna be unpredictable in my point of view. As a soccer fan, bro. Like a true, true soccer fan that, you know, would only want to see the best of the best. Nah. To be the best, you got to beat the best. Ric Flair, bro. Woo!
It's whatever, just, it Alan. Competition.
I'm not going to listen to a guy that's wearing a Vegeta shirt.
Nah, bro. It's, And all this whole time of the ESL, I've only met two people that are for the ESL.
Yeah, thank you. I'm one of them. So
you and my cousin.
I would like to talk. You should invite him.
He's like an hour away. Everyone else is like, nah. A disrespect to the sport. Which, yeah, it is a disrespect to the sport.
Stop being such...
It's not even about...
Softies, bro.
It's not being about being a soft, bro.
Yeah, you know, it is. I mean, come on. You have to look into the future, bro. Everything is moving. Everything is evolving, man. You know.
It's like if a saying, you wanted the World Cup every year.
It would be badass.
Heck no, bro.
Yeah, it would. A World Cup every year.
Heck no.
Even in the World Cup, okay. Back in the day, you would only have 12 teams. The best of the best. And why did they decide to put more teams? More money, more money, more money, and more money, and more money. Now you have 32 teams.
But it's not even a thing about money anymore, bro, because even in the World Cup, anyone can make it in. Look at Iceland.
Yeah, speak to me on Guatemala makes it in.
Oh, my God, bro. Iceland is freaking the Guatemala of Europe, bro.
Are they going to be in this one? No way.
No.
I don't know. I mean, I love the idea. It's about to happen. And when it happens and when you see, like, that I was right in the future, I'm going to be like that one Leonardo DiCaprio when he's pointing at TV all excited with his beard. I'll be like, I told you guys.
Nah, I don't.
So, for you, you're not aboard because you're looking at the
politics,
the money wise, you know, the politic wise or the business wise. Business
wise. Put money to the side, put it to the side.
No, you can put money in my wallet.
Put money to the side, and I see it as not so much of a fun when there's 12 clubs guaranteed that are going to be in year in, year out, year in, year out, year in, year out. Because that means you could be one of the worst teams, and you're still here. It's like you should play to deserve to be in the.
Okay, let me tell you.
Quote unquote Super League.
Teams that are always fighting regulation and promotion, from the championship to the EPL. Do you think it's fair for a team dominate the championship and then they get promoted to the EPL just to get raped after raped after rape and then get but go back to the thing? It's always yeah. Talk to me when the big teams get regulated. Talk to me. The only team that I respect because literally, like, they got went down to a second division. The only team that I feel like relegated, and it's a top team, is Juventus. Other than that,
that wasn't even because they got relegated because of they were playing bad football. That was just soccer politics.
Oh, okay, there you go, politics again. But talk to me when in the EPL you have Arsenal, who is trash, gets relegated. Talk to me when Liverpool gets relegated, when Manchester United, that doesn't even deserve to be at the, get relegated, and you see teams like that barely get promoted, like at the bottom of the table. Talk to me when like teams like Sheffield United is fighting for a Champions League spot. Teams like West Brom, Fulham, you know. Talk to me when that happens. It's never gonna happen.
I mean, Newcastle was one of the biggest teams, and now they're in the bottom.
Just because of Santiago Munoz, bro. Come on.
Newcastle was a big squad, bro, one time.
You know, it's the Super League would have been something sexy, something amazing, you know, something that everybody would hate, and then it would grow on them, you know. That's how I feel that it, and we missed opportunity because, you know, we were being sensitive.
I don't think it would be a thing that
I don't think it was a slap to
I don't the think sport. I don't think it would have been a thing that people would eventually grow to. I think it was going to become a thing to where people weren't going to have another avenue to watch their club play in the European competition.
You know, it's so sad. Like, we all say as fans, we'll follow you everywhere you go. We'll all love this team no matter what. You know, it's like, this is my team. Like, okay, what's one chant that South Americans and the Mexicans, like, La Sangre Pone, like, yo te sigo a todas partes, a donde vas cada día te quiero. Like, that's a chant, you know, like, yet when their club owner wants to move their team to something that could, like, potentially, like, they start turning their backs on the club and blaming the club and saying, like,
weren't blaming the clubs.
Bro, they were boycotting. Like, they're saying, oh, I'm not going to pay you no more money and all this. It's like, aren't you supposed to, like, okay.
No.
If your club owner wants to move, you know, your team to something, like,
But the owner isn't there for the club. They're there for their pockets. That's it, bro.
Bro,
that's the problem. They're not there for the sport. They're there for their returns. For a reason, they put money into this to make money.
That's what it has become about, and enjoy the process. Look,
not for the people.
My wife gets mad because she says that I take sports too seriously, right? And I haven't told her this. I tell her, but you know, it's okay. Point blank, and everything. Everything is business now. Everything is money. You know, you work for a living. You have to afford this. Everything is money, right? But I get so much into sports because I work my ass off for 40 plus hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking enjoy sports. I love coming home to an MLB game. You know, I watch it every day. I come home to a soccer game. I expect it to be good and everything. I don't care. I know that I'm not, like she says, what you hear is not going to be giving them. Like, what? ¿Qué te ganas? You know, nothing. The owner's the one that's taking it. The players are the one that's making it. It's like they're saying, okay, what is Messi going to do to you, you know, for you? Like, you're crying here or you're sad here because you lost. He banked already. Like, you know, his bankroll is big and you're here, you know, working like a dog, like a slave and stuff. But, you know, it's the beauty that the sports give you. Forget, like, you know, money-wise and everything. I swear. For me, as a working man, 40-plus hours to come and look forward to
a game. You want
to
know why this was going to... Okay.
Game after game that is going to, like... You're just going to... Like, I'm going to enjoy it.
The second point, the second reason why I hated this so much was because it was going... You see, football brings people together, right?
Okay.
Fair enough to say?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So this tournament, whatever the heck one wants to call it, was going to kill the little clubs from domestic leagues.
If anything, it was going to open doors for them.
I don't think so.
Why was the Europa League created, to be honest? Why, back in the day, you would just have the European Championship. Why did they create the UCL?
The UCL?
Yeah.
Why was it created?
Okay, the UCL was created because, you know, they wanted to, like, separate the weaks from the strongs. Right? So what's the Europa League? What's so sick about the Europa League? Nothing. It's just a bunch of rejects that couldn't get into the UCL. right? Mm-hmm. And it gives them motivation more. Look at Atletico. The Atletico Madrid, presume, you know, Inter Milan when they couldn't win the Champions League. Look at Manchester United. That's what they're going to win this year. And yet they, lift it if it's, a prestige. Why? Because they make it a prestige, but you're a bunch of rejects. Right? Super League is going to be, it was going to be that. It's going to take over the Champions League, and the Champions League was going to become the European, giving those small teams revenue to, compete for something while the big dogs bash each other, bro. If for me, it was perfect idea. It wasn't going to destroy the small clubs. It was going to help them. It was going to open up opportunities for them to compete for prestigious and but win big bucks.
If they stay in their domestic leagues and in the ESL.
Honestly, if I was I would say fuck it.
It's like the wealth gap. The same thing, bro. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. That's exactly what this was going to do.
Fuck that. I know it's going to make me still the same. It's not going to make me rich or poor, but it was going to make me freaking enjoy football a lot more, bro. To be honest. And I swear, I like it how we're just disagreeing because we've never disagreed. But on this, you know, it stopped. I was bummed. It's not going to happen. But it's going to have to happen eventually. It's going to happen. It's bound to happen. They already tried it. The only thing that concerns me is the Florentino, bro. Florentino being the president, you know, of this fucking founding league. But let me tell you this. You did your research, semi-wire, you know, got into it. You said that it was already signed and everything, right? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be, you know how UEFA and FIFA wanted to penalize the teams? Mm-hmm. You know, that we're going to join the ESL? Mm-hmm. Can Florentino penalize the teams that had signed and now backed out? Are there any penalties, money-wise?
Well, it depends what the contract says. I don't know what the contract says. So the contract says that if they're signing, that means they're agreeing to something for... Then, yeah, they're breaking a binding contract. Thus, you could take that to courts.
So, Florentino could get big money out of...
Other clubs.
So no wonder Mbappe has been looking for a house in Madrid, bro. That's what Florentino's been all along. To get money out of the other people somehow or another to make money to sign Mbappe. He's going to be getting big bucks out of this.
How much are they asking for him?
Oh, Mbappe to over 200 million. That's fucking stupid. And plus, now forget that. And they have to be paying every year 5 million, 6 million, 7 around there. Each month plus. Bonus fees and all. We're talking, to afford this player for at least 3 years, you're talking, almost, 25 million to 27 million for 3 years.
That's well. But, I think we've given both our views.
What do you think our listeners would think? I think that would be, little softies like you, bro. I mean, nah, I don't want to watch this. It hurts our feelings. It tickles our butts. I just feel like it was a chance to modernize. It's eventually gonna happen. Maybe not. Maybe when I'm 40, bro. We're in our 40s, you know. This thing is gonna end, you know. I'm enjoy it then, if God willing, I'm still alive. But okay, you wanna give upcoming soccer events? Any big soccer events upcoming other than the Champions League? Yeah, big events in the upcoming, no. But there's
just have Champions League, that's about it.
The Champions League, but the La Liga is getting tight. We have tomorrow, Barcelona, Getafe, and Camp Nou.
That's a given for Barcelona.
I hope so.
Maybe in first place.
I hope so. First place, back to first place. Juventus dropping points. Bayern winning points.
Well, it's not even... I mean, the only league you can really talk about is La Liga, because the rest of them are done.
Pretty much,
yeah. DPL's done. The Serie A is done since 2 months ago. Was done, mm-hmm. And it's just there's the only thing to talk about is La Liga and Champions.
Yeah, so don't forget Champions League next week, second round, second leg, first Tuesday at 12, Man City versus PSG at Ethan Stadium. Then you have Wednesday at 12 again. You have Real Madrid visiting Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. They're going to be hell of a games. You want to give your predictions for those two?
Real Madrid wins 1-0. And Man City murders PSG 3-0.
I would honestly back you up on that bet. I would, for both of them. I feel like Real Madrid is going to go and steal one and go to another final. And I feel Peps and Man City at their house are going to be unstoppable.
Yep. But that's it for another episode of Beyond 18.
Yep. And glad to be back. So we'll see you next week. We're going to come back and do this regularly. We have to. We can. You know.
Yeah. I think next week we'll probably record until after the UCL
game. Yeah. Most likely, bro.
Yeah.
So thank you once again for, you know, waiting for us and understanding. You know, your boy Santi here saying bye alongside with
Alan Cerner.
Alan the man.
All right, everyone. Later.